how fortuitous it is that we had decided that this month's continuing edge top 10 would be on discounts and opportunities to discount assets before transferring them into trust, and what opportunities that would mean for the long-term benefit to your estate plan. In the past several days, however, proposed regulations had just come through on one of the strategies, which is creating family partnerships for the purpose being to centralize management, allow your children and your loved ones to become qualified investors and be able to participate in investment strategies that you're doing as well, and then transferring those partnership assets into a trust so that that can grow off your balance sheet. That strategy also would allow you, when you've created this legitimate business interest, to discount that transfer as well. And those discounts have now come under attack. Historically, they have, but the proposed IRS regulations scheduled to become permanent later this year, no earlier than 90 days, but could take longer, have now sought to eliminate the majority of these strategies in the partnership area that allow for the discount. Our clients historically are creating these partnerships for the centralized purpose to allow their family members to become limited partners and then in the end qualify as investors, qualified investors on their own inside a trust. But we cannot ignore the discounting opportunities that we have been given for all of our clients, but for many, many years, this has been a phenomenal opportunity. So this period of time now presents a very, very special window to create partnerships if you have legitimate business reasons for doing it and a purpose for creating it and all of the powers that the partnerships can do for you, the discounts could be going away. So with that preamble, I start by saying that in light of this watershed event, today's speech will be to emphasize the impact of these regulations and the implementation of the transfer plans of the family business interests. We'll also touch on the use of other strategies that integrate the discounts that will not be impacted by the regulations, in addition to related considerations when discounted gifts are integrated into the plan. These strategies are now time-sensitive. So partnership LLCs are sophisticated vehicles for unifying family investments, providing for the orderly transfer of assets, delivering asset protection, and centralizing management. Asset protection meaning that if your children have limited partnership units and they get sued, the partnership structure allows for a significantly greater protective element than if they own these assets outright in their own names. It's been well established that partnerships have always had a legitimate business purpose, and operating as such affords the opportunity for these discounts if you are running it as a legitimate business. As has been expected in the past year, the Treasury Department has in fact indeed issued these temporary or what we call proposed IRS regulations. And we believe after the public hearing on December 1 in 2016, we'll have a much closer view of what the fate of this strategy will be. Our view, though, is simply put, if you get your ticket for your flight and you show up an hour ahead of time, you know you'll get on. If you have a ticket and you show up right on time, the flight may be overbooked and we may not get this work done for you in time before the permanent regs are issued, and that would be a significant impact on your tax planning going forward. So we also have to be mindful that the November presidential and congressional elections will not affect the immediate implementation of these regulations, since the IRS is trying to eliminate this concept and has been frustrated in its efforts for years in the tax courts. This will not be a legislative matter. So for those who are considering creating partnerships and then gifting fractional interest of that partnership or selling a fractional interest of the partnership to a trust, there is now a clear urgency to move forward. So now let's discuss the recent proposed IRS regulations and the limitation on the discounting opportunities, as well as how you can take advantage of the various planning opportunities using valuation discount. What changes are on the table? So issuance. As mentioned, August 2, the IRS issued its proposed regs, and in relation to valuation, in effort to reduce or eliminate the size of the valuation discounts. Number two, IRS scrutiny. Valuation discounting has been an area of IRS scrutiny for many, many years, and these proposed regulations were anticipated. The question has always been to the extent to which these regulations would be discounting. There will be a major impact, number three, on valuations. So the proposed 2704 regulations, if adopted in their current form, will have a major impact on the way assets can be discounted for estate planning purposes. Number one, family partnerships and LLCs with minority ownerships would be disallowed as a discount for just lack of control, which has a median of 27% and would suppress the discount for lack of marketability, which has a median of 35%. So percentage ownership is going to be key in working out this. For holding companies, it appears that the elimination of the lack of control discount would impact or suppress the lack of marketability if the owners are family members. For operating companies, operating a trade or a business, the elimination of the lack of control discount might not impact their ability to take a discount for lack of marketability. Number three, non-family partnerships and LLCs with minority ownership would most likely still be allowed to take such a discount. However, the burden of proof for business legitimacy may be stringent moving forward. So you'll have to prove to them that it is a non-family partnership. Number four, perceived abuse of discounting. In the proposed regs, the IRS is attempting to eliminate what it perceives to be an abuse of discounting by taxpayers using controlled family entities. Their rationale is that if a family member is voting together can change the terms of the entity's governing document, then the entity is controlled by the family. Thus, it follows that any restriction on liquidation of an ownership interest in a family entity is designated to generate a valuation discount. Our partnerships that we create for each of you have a significant limitation on control of the limited partners and on the discounting of the family interest. The IRS is saying that even if these partnership interests you're arguing can be discounted because there is a limitation on control, because it's a family, you're all deemed to be working together in collusion, and therefore we're not allowing that discount in the new proposed regs. Number two, planning opportunities to protect your wealth. So the window of opportunity for using these discounted strategies before the final regulations go into effect, of course, will close. We recommend that these valuations be done and the discounting be done before the final regs are issued. Family limited partnerships can hold many types of assets, but are especially valuable for consolidating the management of illiquid investments, such as hedge funds and private equity interests or even closely held businesses. Using a family limited partnership is a common strategy for structuring closely held business. The interests are held between the general partner, which possesses the power to make decisions, and the partnership and limited partnership interests that are non-controlling and only participate in the profits. And this is why these limited units have been able to get a discount, because they lack the control and management. So you can create a family partnership to own a portion of your assets. One of our recommendations is that you move assets out of your name and off your balance sheet without surrendering control. The partnership would create a 1% controlling interest and 99% non-controlling interest. You can continue to manage the business through the 1% interest, but the non-controlling interest would be gifted and/or sold to an irrevocable trust. Since the non-controlling interest would be transferred, the value of the family limited partnership interest that is gifted or sold would be reduced for gift tax purposes under the current IRS regulations. The discounting allows you to preserve a greater portion of your lifetime exemption. So as you know, we can move up to $5.45 million out of your estate. But if we can take $10 million of partnership assets and discount them by 50%, which is aggressive, but even a smaller fraction of that, we can get closer to $10 million of assets and only using a $5 million exemption. We're also using this opportunity because when we're dealing with appreciation, if we've only moved $5 million into trust, in 20 years that $5 million could double twice. And so it would go from 5 to 10 and 10 to 20, and we'd have $20 million off your balance sheet, a powerful proposition on its own. But if we had $10 million discounted down to 5 and got a full 10 of partnership assets into the trust, and that 10 then doubled twice over a 20-year period, then you'd have $40 million outside and off your balance sheet. What does that calculate in total tax savings? In the end, a $5 million exemption, a $5 million gift worth 20 would mean that you've got $15 million off your balance sheet, saving a 50% tax when you include state and federal, depending on the state you're in. And so that $15 million would be a $7.5 million tax savings over that period. If you use the partnership and you got $10 million discounted down to 5, but truly 10 were in the partnership and that 10 went to 40, well, then you'd have $35 million of growth in the end. And the tax savings on $35 million, 50% of that puts you at $17.5 million versus 7. So there's a $10 million delta in tax saving. Now, for some of you, that's a modest amount because your estates are significantly higher. For others of you, moving $10 or $20 or $30 million into trust, you'll see a $10 million tax savings. For others, it's not as substantial, but the time is now. As we move forward, how does the methodology for discounting the closely held businesses work? Well, there are multiple ways to value a business. Private businesses, however, are usually valued lower than equally sized public companies for two common reasons. First, lack of marketability. Ownership in private business is much harder to convert to cash than public shares because there is no consistent market. Number two, lack of control, also called a minority discount. Private business interests are commonly non-controlled interests in a business as opposed to a stock or public company in which all owners have a number of votes proportional to the number of shares owned. So private companies already enjoy a discount compared to their market. But that private company shouldn't be compared to a public company because if it were sold, it would only sell at the value that a third party was willing to pay for it at an arm's length transaction. So how does the discounting work? Not only do you enjoy that discount even though the company is generating more revenue, you have to have qualified appraisers. So the appraisal needs to come from either an accounting firm or a professional valuation firm, and we have several that we use have been awesome at providing us these verified discounts, and so we can talk further about that as the time goes forward. But according to the IRS, a qualified appraiser has earned an appraisal designation, has regularly prepared appraisals, demonstrates education and experience in valuing these types of properties, and is not someone who is a donor or recipient of the property. That, of course, is more common sense. Discounting with real estate. Ownership of a tenant in common interest justifies a valuation discount that is not available with joint tenancy. In a tenancy in common, each owner has an equal right to the property and separate fractional percentages of ownership interest in the property. As well, it is well established that a very limited market for buyers who are interested in purchasing a fractional interest in real estate. So that lack of control over the property when you're selling or transferring a fractional interest in real estate typically will allow us at least a 15% discount. What is an easy example? A property is worth $1 million. You own 50%. Your spouse owns 50. Your spouse takes their 50% and transfers it into trust. That gifting is not a $500,000 valuation, but maybe 15% discount to start with. And in fact, the IRS has accepted significantly higher discounts. But 15% on a $500,000 gift would be a $75,000 discount, and you could save $40,000 in taxes, or $37,500 on 50% tax. That's a small and modest example. Those discounts, we believe, would not be in jeopardy. Other estate freezing, but the discounts are significantly lower, and they're limited typically to real estate matters. When we're using other real estate estate freezing strategies, there are opportunities to decrease your taxable estate, and these strategies transfer future growth. So, of course, you can continue to use GRATs, grantor retained trust, when you're taking assets and you're moving them into a trust, and the future growth goes to your loved ones, but the original principal comes back to you. You can also create trusts where the assets are passed into the benefit of your children, and you pick up the income tax liability on an annual basis. Those are called defective grantor trusts. Tax liability picked up by you is, in effect, an additional gift to your children. Both of these are currently not in jeopardy of being eliminated. Philanthropic planning. Charitable gift planning can also achieve tax-efficient wealth transfer, because you can transfer certain assets into a charitable trust, receive an annuity back, and sell that asset in the trust and not pay a taxable gain. You'll also get a charitable deduction up front. Again, this strategy is not in jeopardy. The key piece that we want to emphasize, though, is that this discount for those of you who are in the category where you have certain assets that if put inside a partnership and used for legitimate business purposes, like transferring interest to your children where they then can qualify as a qualified investor, meaning they have to have certain net worth and net income, and they would otherwise be precluded from participating in investments because they're not a qualified investor, and some of the best opportunities for investments do require that you're a qualified investor. They're higher risk, but typically higher reward. So how can we enable our children to empower them to be part of these investment opportunities? And that is by creating this business arrangement and having the family partnership. The discounts are an additional aspect of gravy. But if you took $2 or $3 or $4 million, we humbly submit to you, and you discounted them by 40% on a $2 million gift, that would mean that a $2 million gift would wind up being $1.2 million, and you would have $800,000 of tax savings that would evaporate at the end of this year if you didn't take advantage of this opportunity. And that $800,000 on a compounding basis would yield you $2 to $3 million of additional tax savings just by the growth in the appreciation of the assets and the tax savings that you've put together. This strategy is not just for the ultra affluent. For a client that has $2, $3, $4, $5 million of assets and is an individual, or $7, $8, $9, $10 million of assets and is a couple, you may be under the federal exemptions now, meaning the 5 million individual and 11 million, 5.5 million and the 11 million almost for the couples. But your estates are continuing to grow. And the way that you can look at this is that years going forward, you can look back and say, I empowered our children to be able to participate as qualified investors. I centralized the management of our investment assets. And yes, I didn't maximize the amount that I need to deploy, that I could have deployed into trust and gifted to our kids. But even the small, modest amount of a few million dollar gift and the discounting available has yielded us years later a much more significant benefit. We have not seen an opportunity like this at risk of being eliminated since 2012, when the exemption was scheduled to go back down to $1 million. That didn't happen, but it was a phenomenally busy period for us as many of you put assets into trust. That strategy, a year later, even though the exemption remained the same at $5 million, provided significant tax benefits just because each of you put these assets into trust and then saw further growth off your balance sheet. So, and the emphasis here is take advantage of the opportunity now if you want to consider it. There have to be legitimate business interests. It's what we always is our leading indicator for when we would make recommendations for this. Also be mindful that when going into trust, when you have husbands and wives, your spouse can be a discretionary beneficiary. So while you believe you're moving this off your balance sheet, you still can have access through your spouse if you're married. As a donor, if you're unmarried or your spouse then passes away down the road, you can always borrow from the trust through the borrowing powers. You also can swap assets in and out of the trust with our plan of sophistication. You also can have the power to address the beneficiaries of the trust through what we call a power of appointment. So understanding these pieces are key. Also looking at this for assets that are undervalued. So let's take a minute for that. Undervalued assets with large growth potential, of course, are the best assets for gifting because they supercharge the formula for how much you can give away and the growth going forward, years forward. So number one, if there's fear in the marketplace, many worst-case scenario doomsdayers would say that an asset is discounted significantly on its own. And so our emphasis here is those are great assets to put into a partnership because their future growth will provide the greatest yield. Current events can also impact the valuation. So if the real estate market in the U.S. becomes weak, real estate in Europe may become undervalued because people perceive that the real estate in Europe will likely follow a pattern experienced in Europe, in the U.S. markets. Public opinion plays a huge role in asset prices. But these assets provide for unique further discounting because of the artificial depreciation in the assets today and the hope and anticipation that they will grow. In 2012, many people said, I don't want to take my hedge fund interests or my private equity interests and put them into a partnership and put them into trust, but I will put my real estate into trust. And they did not, they took advantage of the exemption, but did not see the same growth that those that had put hedge fund interests and others that have grown more significantly year over year over the past 4-year period. That may be a conservative approach to take, and we're fine with it because at least what you've done is you've left the gate and you're out on your way around the track. It does not mean, and we're seeing this particularly in the past 2 to 3 years, that people have now said, get my real estate out of my trust and put in other assets that we think have a greater opportunity for growth. So I leave you with this piece. Number one, the most important part of our planning for you is to look forward and empower your children to continue to grow the net worth because this will be critical for them to use as a supplement for their own well-being, number one. Number two is the assets that you don't give away, you know, will create an estate tax. Hillary Clinton, who currently is leading in the polls, proposes in her own budget that the exemption will go from $5 million down to $3.5 million if she has her way. Can she be assured of getting that? She will need Congress's support. So we're watching all the key states in the nation that would allow the Democrats to take control of the House and impact the estate tax exemption without making any comments politically as to who should be into office. The key piece here is that if the exemption goes back down to $3 million, $3.5 million, and we lose the opportunity to discount partnership interests, the inability to maximize the trust at $5.5 million and the inability to take discounts and the compounding loss will mean significant estate tax for you for the assets in your name, and will mean significant loss of tax opportunities because this current period being ripe and prime for taking advantage was not taken advantage.